1 John chapter number 3 tonight. That introduction didn't cost you nothing. That was free to you tonight. I'm preaching tonight out of 1 John chapter number, huh? Amen. 1 John chapter 3 tonight. Preached at the nursing home that message I preached about verse 16. But tonight we're going to look at something different. We're looking at verse number 9. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's talking about a practice of sin. Somebody that's truly saved and born again, they'll be miserable if they try to practice sin, because God lives on the inside. And he says they'll not commit sin. They won't be these sinners like everybody else. They may commit sin. He talks about that in chapter 1, that if anybody thinks that they don't sin. But chapter 3, he's not changed his mind. He's just saying that somebody that practices sin, he said that they're not born of God. And we're going to talk about that tonight. The children of the devil are manifest here in verse number 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. The children of the devil. That's what I'm looking at tonight. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. His works were evil. And his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. For we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Think about that. Somebody that hates their brother, their sibling, their brethren. This goes both ways, because he gives the example of Cain and Abel, but also the brethren. If you can't get along with the brethren and love the brethren, again, we're not going to agree on everything. Me and Brother Mike was talking about this evening, something I said the other day. Man, I don't even know. We just was joking around. Either way, I don't know what his position is. He said, joked around about something. I said the other day, even if we don't come to agreement on it, it's not a thing we're going to fuss and fight about. Why? Because we both have the same spirit living inside of us. If you can't love the brethren of who you can see, the Bible says, how can you love God whom you've not seen? We're going to preach tonight, though, about the children of the devil are manifest. Father, help us now to know the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil tonight through your word, God. I believe it's right here in this verse of scriptures, here in 1 John chapter 3. And Lord, 1 John chapter 3, and help us, Lord, to know what your will is and how to spot somebody that's of the devil and how to know those that are children of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. He says here, in this, the children of God are manifest. In what? If you back up, you'll know what. So we want to know then, if in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In what? Let's back up. Every man, verse 3, we're just going to back up to verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Number one way to be able to tell the children of the devil, the way that they're manifest. By the way, I want you to know, if you don't know, the word manifest means apparent. That's what the Strong's. If you were to look up what that word is in the Greek that's used here for manifest, that word means, the definition means apparent. Manifest means it's plain, it's open, clearly visible to the eye or obvious to the understanding. It's easily seen, okay? That's what manifest means. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In what? Number one, in sin, carnality. That's a way that you can tell whether somebody's of God and whether somebody's of the devil is their carnality, their sin. Do they live in sin? You know how you can tell a pig? Not just by the way that he looks. I know what I said, well, I can tell because of the way he looks. I tell you other ways. You know how other ways? Y'all know other ways. Because they stink. Because they wallow around in the mud and in their own filth. I know it's amazing how something that wallows around its own filth just tastes good. But we're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about the way that they waller in their sin. That's the way that lost people do. They're sinful. He said, whosoever breaketh the law, they are a sinner. That's how you know what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. That's what the law's for. That's why the law is still relevant in 2022. Because the law teaches us what sin is. I understand we that are saved are not under the law. That just means that we don't have to keep every little jot and tittle of the law. I don't know how I did that, but there are certain things that are given to the church that we have a responsibility as the church, as the representatives of Christ on this earth, we have a responsibility to do. And that God told them, when you go back to the first early church there, they asked them, they said, are they to keep the circumcision? He said, no, you don't have to keep the circumcision necessarily if you're trying to do it to keep the law. That doesn't mean that if you want to do it, you're a child, that does not mean it. But if you're trying to do it because you're trying to keep the law, then yes, you are in the wrong. He said you're not to eat, and we are still not to eat blood. We are not to eat things that are strangled. We are not to eat things that are offered to idols. You're more than welcome to eat any meat that you want to. Now, there's some meats that I'm not interested in eating. I'm not eating Fido or Fifi the cat or whatever. But hey, you know, if some people want, that's more that's on them. I like a good steak and some good bacon. But now there's also, Paul gives us, there's also other things that go along with them, and they expound upon them. That was just some of the first things that was given to the church. About the way that the church was supposed to operate. They go into and dress standards. They also were supposed to avoid fornication, which is anything of that relations outside of marriage. Fornication encompasses all those things. The only thing, the only kind of intimacy that God allows is between a man and a woman in the bounds of marriage. Nothing else. So that's how we, the children of God and the children of the devil, manifest. What their carnality, their sin. Do they live in sin? You're not going to be perfect. But if you live in sin, you might want to do some checking because you're probably a child of the devil. You're probably not a child of God. He goes on here and says, he says that it's a train forward. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him was, or in him is no sin. He said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, and neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, and even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's why as children of God, we should be different. That's why we say the things that we say. That's why we preach against the things that we preach against. Again, it's not saying that you can't sin, but it's saying you should not practice sin. Now, if you're a Christian and sin's got into your life, you've let things get into your life that shouldn't be there, that's what the altar's for. We don't got a confessional. You don't confess to me. You confess to God. We're not of that kind of a religion where we believe you ought to confess to man. The Bible says, talks about confess your faults one to another, not your sins. Your faults is, brother, pray for me. I'm weak in the flesh. I'm struggling with some things. Though that's different than pray for me. I'm cheating on my wife. Hey, if it's a public, a thing that needs to be made public, don't think we ain't afraid to do that. But if it's a private sin, it needs to be dealt with privately. Now, if it becomes public, then it has to be dealt with publicly. We're of that persuasion. Hey, I'm from the old school. I may only be 39 years old. My wife and I are from the old school. We believe if a young lady and a young man, if he's in the church, if they're in the church and they try to file, and they get caught and father their child out of wedlock or have a child out of wedlock, they're to come before the church and publicly confess that sin and ask for forgiveness because they publicly shamed the church. That goes for anybody too. I'm talking about if the pastor commits sin, he ought to publicly confess it. If he's done something of that nature and get it right with God, then he ought to step down too. That don't just, listen, just because a man of God confesses sin and makes it right does not mean that he can immediately continue to preach it. Absolutely not. If a man or a woman does those things, same thing. If we had a piano player that got caught having an affair, she would be sat down, or if we had a man up here publicly, they would be sat down. We still believe in church discipline. But listen, if you're in sin and you don't want, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, the same here, and I got Bible, I've got to give you Bible to back it up. If you'll deal with sin privately, when God deals with you, God will keep it private. If you've not let it fester and get out of control, and you'll deal with that stuff privately, God will put it under the blood, and God will deal with it privately. But if you do like David, and you wait, God, if David would have made that thing right, and David would have got himself right before God when he did that sin, then God wouldn't have had to deal with it publicly. But God had to deal with it publicly because David had a man killed. David lost a baby, but that wasn't enough. God still ended up dealing with that sin publicly because of what David did. I believe. I don't want to. I hope I never have to. I hope that never comes a problem. But I'm just telling you, if you've got sin in your life, but it's a way that you can distinguish. Listen, when you're praying for somebody, listen, I'm telling you this, not because I think we've got a problem with this, but I'm telling you, stop making excuses for people. Preacher, I believe they're saved. Well, when's the last time they've been to church? Well, it's been about 20 years since they set foot in the church. And you believe they're saved? Well, yeah. They shacked up. Well, yeah, but that's just because they went through a bad... I don't care what they went through. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says that's how you distinguish the children of God and the children of the devil, through sin, through their carnality. If you get sin in your life, there's going to be sin in your life. That thing's come up in my life. But that's why this altar... Don't wait. Don't wait till you're standing there with your buddies and they found out. And the next thing you know, the preacher comes walking up and they tell, hey, this man go to your church? Hey, did you know he's doing such and such? You better get it under the blood. But I'm just telling you this evening, don't make excuses for people. Pray they need to be saved. More people's dying than going to hell. They're not saved and just living backslidden. There are some. There are some, I believe, that have got saved and got away from God, but there should be some kind of evidence in people's life that somebody that lives in sin. I told you before, I don't believe in a Christian drug dealer. I don't believe in Christian prostitutes. I don't believe in Christian sodomites. I don't believe in Christian, all this other garbage that people try to say, but they're a Christian, preacher. They've been in church in 20 years, but they're a Christian. Mm-mm. He said it's manifest, it's evident in their sin, their carnality. Number two, it's evident in their righteousness, their character is different. They're carnally minded, those that are the children of the devil, their character's different. They're not righteous. They don't want to live right and do right. Righteousness is purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Boy, the preacher gets up and tells them, now I'm not saying that somebody, I've heard stories of people. Brother Shepherd told me while we were talking, it's been about 6 months ago or more. he was talking about this couple that he had in one of the churches that got saved, that were living together. And not long after they got saved, guess what they wanted to do? They wanted to get married and make it right. I've heard story after story. We know a preacher evangelist right now there in North Carolina. Said when he got saved, he said he was in a rock band. He had a hair down clean down to his back. Had a big old long ponytail down his back. Guy. Said nobody had to say a thing to him. About a week after he got saved, he went and got a haircut, shaved it all off, realized he was wrong. Because the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. It's a shame. Men ought to keep their hair cut. This bunch of, you notice they got all the garbage going on with the bun on top. You notice that 99% of them is a bunch of effeminate men with that little bun on top. And the other 1%, they're just stupid. Because if you want that to look like an idiot with a bun on top of your head, he's so cute. That's kind of like these nasty mullets. I'd like to hold them all down and shave their heads. And it wasn't cool in the 80s, and it ain't cool in the 2022s, okay? It's nasty. It is a shame for a man to have long hair, the Bible says. And the Bible says a woman's hair is her glory. Why do you think all these bunch of dykes go out and shave their heads? Want a man's cut. Because they're trying to go against the Bible. The Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory. That's why a woman's supposed to have long hair. That's why a woman's supposed to look feminine and look like a woman and not look like a man. But these bunch of nasty women and a bunch of lesbians and something, they're demon possessed. They're demonic. They're not seeking after righteousness. Oh, we can tell you some in church. Let me tell you something. That, you know, that was the run thing. I don't like this Karen mentality, because my mama's name's Karen, and I don't appreciate them taking a good name and doing what they're doing with it. But you can tell a lot of these women that are going to cause a problem, because probably 70-80% of those women that cause the majority of them problems, you look and see they got their hairs butched off. They look like they're trying to look like a man, trying to dress like a man and act like a man. You know what that is? They're trying to go against what God has ordained. That's why I don't support this bunch of feminist garbage that goes on our day and time. They don't even know what feminism is. They're rebelling against God and the way God's ordained things. They're destroying the home. They're destroying the order that God's ordained things. Hey, that's how you know somebody's of the devil and whether somebody's of God is whether they want to live righteously and holy. A woman that's willing to submit to her husband and love her husband. There's nothing. Hey, listen, I don't care what the world tells you about your own person and you ain't got to listen to your husband. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with taking that stress and letting that stress off you and allowing your husband to be the head of you like God intended and takes that stress off of you. When a man's in his place and a woman's in her place the way God ordained, hey, it's a lot easier on the marriage. Women are not equipped to handle the stress that men are. I know that some women don't like people saying that, but women are not equipped. Women have no business being on the front line in war. Absolutely not. Women have no business being drafted into war. That's the things that all these feminists, that they want equal rights and they want to be just like a man. Da, da, da. You don't see them running to want to get away with the draft for women, do they? And if I do, I'm going to be filing a suit against it, suing, because if them Quakers, you know, Quakers are exempt from the draft. You know that? If you're a Quaker, you don't have to register for the draft because of their religious beliefs. Well, that's fine. If they go try to make women in, I'm suing because Baptists believe that women have no business being out there on the front line with a man. If some woman wants to volunteer, you're more power to you. I'm not going to stop you. But my daughters have no business being drafted into the war. It's a man's responsibility and men's responsibility to defend the home and to defend the country that we live in. It's not a woman's responsibility. Even the one woman that God used in the book of Judges, Deborah, a lot of people like pointing to Deborah because God used her. Praise God for her. God did use her. But God didn't use her in the war. God used Barak. I think that's kind of funny. It's similar to somebody else. God used a man named Barak, and he's the one that led. He just used Deborah as a prophetess. He did not use her and send her into the war. Righteousness is conformity to the law of God, the divine law of God, following what God says. Hey, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Miss Levita, no matter how long you and Brother Mike's married, other than being your pastor, you don't have to submit to me. You don't have to submit to Brother Joe or any other man. You submit to your husband. That does not give you the license or the right. We've gone through this, but just so I can get quick, that does not give you the license and the right to run over her or to bully her or beat her down anyway. The Bible says the wife is the weaker vessel. That means that you're to take extra special care to care for her and love her and make sure her needs are met. We're in the day and time when most men are too busy satisfying themselves to take care of their wife's needs. Your wife should come first. That means if you need, both of you need a vehicle, new vehicle, that means your wife should come first. If both of you need new clothes, then your wife should come first. Her needs should come first. I dare say in homes that are supposed to be Christian homes, probably 90% of them, it's the wife that'll do without. We know, we've seen it. If in Christian homes, in homes that are trying to serve God, it'll be the wife that'll still do without. Because if the children need something, she'll put them first. Praise God for godly wives, godly mothers. That's why y'all take special care of them. Go above and beyond. That's why I tried my best to make sure she's got something long before me. I need some new suits, but hey, as long as she needs new clothes, she's going to get it before me. I got to get some more. That's why it's supposed to be in righteousness, in your character. It's manifest. Those that are children of the devil and those that are children of God. Hey, when I get up and preach things, I can tell. I can't say 100% with certainty, but I can probably with 100% certainty tell you either those that are saved and right with God or those that are saved or lost that are not going to submit to God. There are some that may be saved that they just, I don't care what you say, preacher, I'm going to live the way I want to. I can give some right now, give examples of especially women. I'm sorry, I know that I'm not trying to be mean to women tonight. I know some men are the same way. I know some men that ain't saved, that say they're saved, and they don't want to submit to preaching. I don't care what you say, preacher. Well, it ain't what I say. Does the Bible say that? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that you can tell in somebody's righteousness. Are they conforming to the world? Or are they conforming to what God's Word says? That's your character. Number three, now, your carnality, your sin, your righteousness, the character. Number three, he says your love, your compassion. He says it's manifest in that. He says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in them. Your love speaks. It manifests. Do you love church? Do you love being around the brethren? Are we trying to build a southern church?
And y'all ain't Southern people. And nothing to say against that. But I love the fact that on Sundays, I feel like sometimes we have to beat y'all out of the church. Because y'all fellowshipping and talking with one another. What is that? That's a way of showing love, brotherly love to one another. You go in some churches, even some good independent Baptist churches, and people are preaching was long-winded. Let me get out of here, man. I mean, there's times when I do get long-winded, and y'all still sometimes stay here for an hour after. What is that? That's love. That's fellowshipping one with another. It's compassion. It's manifest in the way that we treat one another, whether we're praying for one another, how we love one another, respect one another. It's manifest. Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. When the preacher's not around, are you running him down? That's what, for years, I've seen people like that. We didn't hang out with them, but you could tell. They run down the preacher in front of their kids. Then when their kids got old enough to go out on their own, they couldn't keep their kids in church. Well, of course not. Why would your kids want to come sit under the man that's my pastor, but then you spend 30 minutes at home running him down? I'm not perfect now. I hope you don't, and I don't think anybody is here. I'm not perfect. If you've got a problem, I've told you from the start. If you've got a problem, please come talk to me. I can make mistakes. I'm man enough sometimes. I'm like any other man. It's hard sometimes to admit, but I can sometimes admit and apologize. I made a mistake or I made you mad. If it's according to the Bible, don't expect an apology. But if I've said something accidentally or said something, or maybe I made a decision you didn't quite like, come talk to me. But how you treat the brethren tells others whether you love the church or whether you really love God. That's three things right there. Your sin, the carnality. Your righteousness, the character. Number three, your love and compassion shows, and it's manifest. If somebody lives in sin, lives in carnality, the Bible says, and I wish I'd looked it up, but I didn't tonight. The Bible says that sometimes I'm going to quote it wrong, but sometimes we know not how to pray how we ought to. And I can't remember exactly how the scripture goes. Forgive me, I'm sorry. But I can look it up for you afterward if you want to say it. But basically, but the Bible says, but the Spirit makes groanings which cannot be uttered. Basically what it says is if Brother Joe here is praying for somebody that's living in sin that may be saved, and Brother Joe says, you know what? Hey, I believe they're just lost. And starts praying, God, this person needs to be saved. The Holy Spirit of God tells God the Father, says, hey, this brother, this guy is saved, but they're living so bad, this brother praying for him to get saved. We need to do something in his heart to get him back on track. I'm going to paraphrase it like that. He says that sometimes we may mess up a little bit when we're praying for somebody that may actually be saved, or we may be praying for somebody that we think is saved and it's not, and sometimes we may. But if they're living in sin and they're carnal and that's all they're about, just pray that they get saved. That's what you need to pray. Don't make excuses for people. If they won't live righteously, if their character's wrong and you get around them, hey, sometimes you get around people and you can just tell. They may not be perfect, but you can just tell they've got a good spirit about them. There's people that I've been around that they ain't perfect. Maybe they ain't been under the kind of preaching. We weren't. We weren't the church we got saved in. I love Brother Mike. I love my first pastor. But he didn't go in. I mean, he spent so much time preaching salvation that we didn't have time to really grow and go into other deeper things. We never knew about missions and missionaries and things like that underneath. I love him. And I'm not making excuses for him. But we didn't grow the church that we grew in. Like I said, he never preached to us about standing up there on the marriage altar. Of course, by then, we were, and he probably believed it. But he just spent so much time with other things. Righteously, your character, and through your compassion. Do you love like you're supposed to? I got several scripture references to go along with this tonight, but I'm not going to go into them. I think that's good. How about it tonight? What are you manifesting to people? What are you manifesting to people? Are you living a life? You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. be on up to them though. If somebody sees you and sees you mess up, say, I'm sorry. If you mess up with somebody, be willing to admit, say, I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. God's still working on me. You'd be surprised sometimes what that'll do in people's hearts when somebody's willing to admit that they've made a mistake as a Christian. Love the brother. Don't run each other down. This be all you got. That's why we got other. That's why we fellowship with other churches. We want you to know we're not in this alone. Live righteously. Somebody's watching you that you may not even know. Live in front of them. My Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that we would manifest as the children of God in the world that we live in, God. That we would be what we need to others, that they would see Christ in us. Help us, Lord, to live righteously and holy and walk uprightly in front of this present evil world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you need to come tonight.